What's up and welcome back to Kinda Funny Games Daily for Friday, February 10th, 2023. What a fun little jib move that was, right?
I'm used to that one.
New face of video games, Blessing Adeoye Jr. How are you doing?
I'm doing good, Tim motherfucking Geddes. How are you doing?
Oh, just good. On a day like this?
You're right. I saw that Fast X trailer.
It's a Fast Friday, everybody. All right, this one's not directed by Justin Lin, but many of the best are.
Did he do Tokyo Drift?
He did Tokyo Drift.
I don't know if that's factual.
He did 4. He did 5. He did 6. He did 9.
Okay. Some of the best are.
Yeah.
Because 5 is. Do you not like Tokyo Drift?
He did the best. He
right
also
now?
Did some.
I don't like Tokyo Drift. 6 is probably my favorite.
He has no taste. It's okay. It's okay.
It's the main character ruins it for me.
Yeah. Okay.
Because his performance is fucking terrible.
Yeah, sure. It's a
for sure.
Problem.
Like, what about Tokyo Drift puts it up there for you?
Everything besides the main character.
All right.
Think about it.
The drifting was cool.
Think about it.
I like the drifting part of Tokyo Drift. And the Han. Tokyo part, that was cool too.
Han 2?
Han 2 is cool. I like Han also.
He's the best.
A lot of positives.
He's Ellen. Twinkie.
You got me.
Bow Wow.
Got me.
The whole car?
Okay, yeah. Bow Wow was in it.
Soundtrack. There's a lot of good. There's a lot of good in this movie.
The whole car?
Neela, fantastic stuff, everybody.
Yeah, no, we'll never get good as 6 and 5.
That's right. I'm right.
Although maybe Fast X. I don't know, man. This trailer got me in.
Yeah.
I thought the trailer looked dope as hell, even though there's some stupid shit that goes down in that trailer. I thought it was good stupid shit.
Oh, yeah. I mean, look, hey, I've been here since day one, and I ain't planning on going anywhere anytime soon. Of course, really? If you want to watch me break down the Fast End trailer for almost an entire hour, you can do just that on youtube.com/kindoffunny. Right now, it's live. You can go watch it. Did Kevin and I get here at 8 a.m. to record it live? Yeah. Did YouTube take us down as we were recording? Yeah.
Oh, no, really?
Did we have to fucking do a whole thing? Yeah, whatever. But now you can watch it. And hey, at least it was a damn good time. And it was a damn good time. What a trailer.
Oh, yeah. What a trailer. What a great way to start the morning.
What a great... And dude, what a day for Tim Geddes. All right? I get a Fast 10 trailer that I'm very excited about. Mm-hmm. On top of that, last night, Bless. I don't know if this means anything to you. But this year is the 20th anniversary of Linkin Park's Meteora album. Linkin Park, anything?
Not really. I like the singles.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, very, very so good. So good. That's technically the Jay-Z side of it, but
of course, I wrapped you like Jay-Z's part of that matchup. Which,
yeah.
But still, I like their version of that song.
But Linkin Park, extremely important to me and my upbringing. And Hybrid Theory and Meteora are just bona fide classic albums. 20-year anniversary of it. And last night they released a song from the archives, bless, called Lost, from the Meteora recordings.
Oh.
So we're getting vintage, like 2003 Linkin Park music, and it's good.
Oh, shit.
It feels so right, and it is so bittersweet hearing Chester sing, knowing how everything ended, with so many of the lyrics that he has in this song even. It's just like, it's a little too, it's sobering, you know?
I will say this morning I checked out an album from this little indie band that I've been trying to pay attention to. They're called Paramore. Mm. They dropped an album last night, and this morning, so I listened to it. Pretty good album.
Yeah.
Pretty good album from this little band called Paramore. Highly recommend them if you like some good music. Go check out some Paramore.
You can pretend that airplanes in the night sky are like
shooting stars. Because I can really use a wish right now.
But last night, listen to that, the new Linkin Park song, and just like many people out there, I imagine, that sent me down a rabbit hole of listening to Meteora front to back. I've now listened to it since last night to this morning, three times front to back.
Oh my
what
God.
An album. What a damn freaking album. And then tonight, everybody, The Last of Us.
Oh, HBO. I keep forgetting this tonight.
We are going to keep our normally scheduled reaction breakdown to Monday, 9 a.m. live on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames and twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames, which coincidentally is where you're watching this show right now. If you're watching live, just like you can do every single weekday where we break down all of the video game news that you need to know. If you want to get it as a podcast, though, search your favorite podcast service for Kinda Funny Games Daily, and we'll be right there for you. If you wanted to get the show ad-free, if you wanted to get all of the bonus content that we do, or if you wanted to be a Patreon producer like Delaney Twining, you got to go to patreon.com/kindoffunny, and you're going to have a great time. Today's stories include rumors about a state of play.
Whoa.
Or some states of play.
Whoa.
Hi-Fi Rush might be teasing a different game.
Whoa.
And a whole bunch more stuff. Little housekeeping for you. A new PS I Love You XOXO is up right now with Bless and Greg unboxing the PSVR 2.
Wow. Does Greg tear into it like a monster? You'll have to tune in to find out. He did that to the DualSense Edge box, and it hurt me.
Yeah.
I don't know if you saw that, but it really hurt me.
I want to have a conversation.
What's up?
With people here in this office. And I don't know where I want to have it. I don't know if I want to have it on camera.
About boxes?
Or if I just want to have it. No, but about the DualSense Edge. About Pro controllers overall. Not the Nintendo Switch Pro controller, but like real Pro controllers, like the Elite Series.
Okay, yeah.
You know? These back paddles, you know? I know they're all the buzz. I know that there's like a lot of thoughts on it. I know Andy's the king of them. He loves them. Mike loves them. I want to know what y'all are using them for. Because I haven't found a great use for it besides replacing the L3 button for like sprinting.
Yeah, I think that's a pretty good one. First-person shooters, a lot of the time, I think, have a lot of good functionality for that. Because the thing is, Tim, if you're out there playing Halo, right, you got your thumbs on the sticks. You don't want to take your thumbs off the sticks, right? If you just map jump and crouch and the necessary buttons to the back paddles. I think that's probably the main thing. I've started using back paddles a little bit for FIFA. There's some button commands like call up your keeper or call up a second player that are mapped to either triangle or R1. That'll make it so that I'm gripping the controller in a weird way, start mapping those back there. The thing is, though, the DualSense Edge, and I'll say it, all right, I'm not afraid. The Xbox Series X Elite controller paddles, I think, are way better just in terms of how they feel. Like, I just can't get like a level of comfortability with the paddles that they provide for the DualSense Edge.
You know,
it's a bummer for me.
I don't like either.
Yeah?
And maybe it's just I'm not used to them, but I the last week I've been really trying with both and like to trying to figure out like what do I need these for? And I haven't found the use case.
What turned me around on it a bit was the Steam Deck, because the Steam Deck just has the native paddles. And the issue that I've always had, right, because I've used the DualSense SCUF controller, which I bought from Andy, and My issue with that one was like my fingers would always just naturally rest on the paddles, and it made it so that now I'm gripping my controller in a way that just didn't feel natural to me. The DualSense Edge, I think, has a bit better placement on the paddles to where I can just put, I use the smaller paddles on the edge. So now I can like rest my fingers a bit below that and it doesn't feel weird to hold. But even still, like there are times where I'm like, when I'm thinking fast, I'm just so not used to using a controller in that way. So I'm always have to remind myself that, oh shit, okay, I can do this thing if I use my back paddle. And so, like, but that's hard to do in the moment when the tension is high.
Yeah.
With the Steam Deck, because those buttons are naturally there, I felt like one, it's not weird to hold, right? Like those, you really gotta press those buttons if you want to press those buttons. But also, I've been feeling explorative with the Steam Deck. The Steam Deck has opened me up in ways that like I never thought about. Right? Where I'm like, oh, you know what, man? What if I just started mapping random shit to the abundance of back buttons I got here?
Mm-hmm.
Let me tell you. It's really fun to mess around with that stuff.
What I will say is on the DualSense Edge, on the Elite Series 2, I got a new 8-bit Doe controller that just put out that is like a pro type controller. And it also has the back buttons like embedded in it, not like coming out the others, but you know what I'm talking about, like Steam Deck style. And I will say, even if I'm not using them for like playing the game, because I'm with you, my mind just doesn't work that way.
Yeah.
I love them as kind of like a fidgety thing. You know, I remember back on the PS2, I used to always love those. You know, clicking in the nips.
I honestly feel it. You ever pull out the thumbstick, pop it back in. Yeah. Oh man,
dude, come on.
Oh man,
come
we're broken, on. Man.
I love that. So now it's like I find myself like just kind of clicking away, not doing the game, but it just feels good. Like
I do the same thing. Going, yeah, but yeah, when I picked up the Xbox Elite controller, which I don't do often, when I make my rare appearance in the streaming room, pick up one of those things. The placement of the paddles, at least the ones that Mike has equipped to those things, are like perfect, where it's more of like a squeeze, if anything, that I'm doing to press the buttons, and it feels great.
The thing I like most of, I know now we're just going
now we're just in a, in on this, in a like, controller conversation.
The thing that I really, really, really like about both the DualSense Edge and the Elite Series 2 that until this week I had never even played with is the sensitivity of the analogness of the triggers of making just more like clicky versus like the more like spongy that the both of them kind of default to. And especially for Hi-Fi Rush, with it being as like precision like based, it's like I changed it to more clicky and I was like, oh, this is so much better. Like I'm really enjoying it. And I have it set that one of my sides is spongy and one of my sides is clicky, but like, cool, it lets me do that.
It still breaks my brain because I do that with the DualSense Edge, and I've been doing that with FIFA, where for my sprint, for R2, I keep it squeezy, but for my strafe with the L2, I keep it clicky. And when I come back to work, because I use my Edge at home, when I come to work, I pick up my regular DualSense, and when I squeeze that L2 button, I'm like, oh God, what's happening here? Oh shit, this is weird. This doesn't feel right anymore. Yeah. It breaks my brain to go back and forth between like regularly playing and then playing with my DualSense Edge. But I just gotta get used to it.
Yeah. Well, I love it. I love controllers.
Controllers are fun. They're really cool.
You know what else is cool? Like we said earlier, we reacted to the Fast X trailer. You can check that out. When I say we, I mean me. Me and Kevin. And Kevin did great. Brought some bangers. Brought some astute scientific knowledge to that trailer breakdown. Today we're brought to you by Shady Raisin Honey, but I'll tell you all about that later. For now, let's begin with what is and forever will be the Roper Report.
Why'd you lower your seat for that? Tim's in a funny, goofy mood today.
Five stores today.
A Baker's Dozen.
Woo-wee. That's the Friday seat lower. They call that.
It is. Everybody.
You can only get that on Friday.
The seat drop.
Oh man. First story today. I'm really stoked about this one. Two PlayStation State of Play showcases rumored to be airing before June.
Whoa.
This comes from Hiron Cryer at GamesRadar. A low-key, quote-unquote, PlayStation State of Play broadcast is rumored to air relatively soon, with a larger showcase apparently planned before E3 2023. That's according to rumor lover Jeff Grubb.
You know, rumor lover.
I'm a rumor lover, too. But I also love the rumor lover, Jeff Grubb. Speaking on the latest episode of his Games Mess podcast, according to Grubb, we should see a smaller PlayStation State of Play showcase relatively soon, perhaps even within the next month or so, potentially sooner. That's a lot of potential.
That's a lot of potentials. It's a big window.
Additionally, Grubb also claims there'll be a larger State of Play broadcast at some point before E3, which will be here in June. Considering we're merely in February, that's a pretty wide net to cast when predicting a new State of Play showcase from Sony. Nonetheless, it's a fairly strong indication that a State of Play showcase is coming at some point within the first 6 months of the year. As for what PlayStation could potentially show off during these two broadcasts, there isn't any indication from Grubb as to what we should expect. It's quite possible, from Grubb's comments, that the first State of Play showcase could focus on third-party games like Chia. T-C-H-I-A, which I don't remember seeing.
It's the game it's an indie game, looks kind of like almost like a Breath of the Wild inspired thing. And I know we say that about everything, but it is like it is that kind of like fun cartoony art style. You're on an island. I believe you turn into animals. It's one of those games where you turn into animals and you're one with nature.
It was featured before in various Sony showcases, apparently. Yes. As for the second larger broadcast, we likely expect to see first-party games here, like Spider-Man 2, which is still planned to launch later this year. All right. I mean, let's break it down. What do we think? What do we think?
I mean, this goes back a bit to us talking about Nintendo Directs and when is a Nintendo Direct going to happen, and the idea that, you know, we go back and we try to track the timing for Directs, and we were talking about how PlayStation or Nintendo usually does one of these things at the beginning of the year, either in January, February, and March. And by the time we finish that statement, right, it's like, oh, well, that's a whole window.
Quarter of
a
year.
Like, at some point during the year, a Nintendo Direct is going to happen. And I think at some point during the first half of the year, a State of Play is going to happen. Or maybe multiple State of Plays are going to happen. And to Jeff Grubb's credit, I think Jeff Grubb is working off of stuff that is tangible, right? Like, I do believe he has sources. Jeff Grubb has proven himself to, like, know what he's talking about and have people that are legit. He's a rumor lover, right? But he's a rumor lover that has people legit that he talks to. And he was able to call that State of Play that we just got. I believe that he is talking to somebody who is who has accurate information or is in a position to have the accurate information that is probably telling him, like, yeah, like sometime in the next month or so, they're planning a State of Play that's going to be smaller. And then before June, you're going to get a bigger State of Play. I think that second one, the before June bigger State of Play, is one that's like that's probably a given. Come on, like it's what before E3, PlayStation is going to do a big event that's going to align with a big kind of E3 showcase. I think at this point you kind of expect that, especially coming off of last year.
I don't know that we do, right? Because did we get that?
Yeah, we got the one in May that had like Street Fighter 5.
Okay, but see now I feel like we're doing the same thing of playing with the rules. The rules of like so does. We're counting May as before E3, but now E3 is what? June to August?
know what I'm saying? Well, the first half of the year? What's the exact phrasing they use here? Which will be here. Additionally, Grubb claims that there will be a larger State of Play broadcast at some point before E3 2023, which will be here in June. And so if a State of Play happens in May, that's before E3 2023 that happens in June.
Yeah, for sure. I'm trying to think back. So couple things to note here, right? We've been really talking to death the Nintendo Direct of the last couple days and what it means to be a Nintendo Direct versus a partner showcase versus a Pokemon Presents versus a mini this, mini that, whatever the hell, right? PlayStation has a similar thing going on where they have now shown that there's different formats. There's PlayStation State of Plays. There's PlayStation State of Plays that focus on one specific game as like let's deep dive into this. And then there's PlayStation Showcases that are the the bigger ones, like the most exciting
where you
ones.
Get all the big first party announcements back to back.
The one similar to what we saw in the Nintendo Direct recently, or like the big one. It's the one that we're actually looking forward to. It's interesting here, the use of the word state of play.
Yes.
Like it's saying a low key state of play, which sure. Can totally imagine that, focusing on some of the third-party stuff.
Honestly, that's most state of plays, I feel like,
yeah.
are the low-key
Oh,
ones.
I mean, at this point, yeah. But the thing with state of play is every once in a while, there's a big announcement. It could be first-party. It could be third-party. Typically, is third-party at this point. But calling a PlayStation state of play low-key, to me, is like...
You think it's even lower
even
key?
Even lower key. Like, and which we've seen those.
See, I compare it to the Little Devil Inside... Right? Mm-hmm. That's the name of the game. Mm-hmm. Little Devil Inside State of Play, right? Yeah. Where that was the headliner and everything else was indie, smaller stuff that was happening around that. I think that's probably what he's talking about. I think that's the tier of State of Play that we could get in the next couple of months. And I do believe this. You know, of course, things can change. Who knows what happens? All that stuff. That said, I wouldn't be surprised if, in the next couple of months, we got a small State of Play that was, hey, finally here's Little Devil Inside with a solid release date. Maybe it is out like soon after that, in the next few weeks or next few months. I think that'd be a cool way to go about it. We talked a bit yesterday about Goodbye Volcano High is another quote-unquote PlayStation indie that we got revealed at the original PS5 event that we've not seen for a very long time. I think that'd be a shoo-in to make another appearance. And then to our conversation yesterday, what are the next Sifus and Strays of the world? I think we're kind of waiting on seeing the reveal or like the next Roller Drums of the world, right? Like, what are the next really cool indie games that have this level of production and budget that makes it feel like a monumental release?
Yeah, you know? Yeah, and I you're right. I think that we will start seeing those at least first seen here, and then like actually released later. But the idea of even the second one that they're talking about here, they're not saying showcase.
No, so it's like, so that's the interesting thing is I think for me, this points to the idea that maybe we don't get a PlayStation showcase, at least in the first half of the year. And that wouldn't be the biggest surprise, aside from the fact that we didn't get one last fall. Right. And so it feels like now we're overdue. What are the next big, what you call the unicorn games, right? What's going on at Sony Bend? What's going on with Last of Us Factions? What's going on with all the bigger games that we know that you're working on? What's happening with Ghost of Tsushima, whatever the next one is? There's still a lot for PlayStation to talk about. Maybe that is a thing of, hey, let's hold it for the fall. You know, we didn't need it last September because we had God of War Ragnarok that we're focusing on. People know that Spider-Man 2 is coming later this year. What if we wait until we get to the end of this year and it is cool? Now we're at the end of what you know is happening for PlayStation first party. Now it's time to reveal the next slate. What if the end of phase one is actually this fall instead of last fall?
Yeah. I mean, so somebody help me here. Did we get a PlayStation thing last May? Because I can't pinpoint it.
Last May?
Yeah.
The state of play. So it was where they announced Resident Evil 4 Remake and Street Fighter 6. I forget what else was there, but it was in Rollerdrome.
Okay.
It was like a bigger state of play.
Okay, but so that was a state of play. So, like, because last showcase we got was
September 2021.
All right, yeah. So we didn't get one last year, period.
Yep.
A showcase. Right. And again, we've been talking about this. There's a lot of questions in the air of what are the PlayStation studios working on, because we don't have many answers to that at this point. I do think some of the things we do know, and we're waiting for more on that. Pivoting just a little less, and this is a crazy thing to
pivot,
jump on,
Tim.
Right?
Let's pivot.
Last month, Xbox was like, Hi-Fi Rush, motherfuckers. Boom. Mm. Shadow drops out now.
They did.
This week, Nintendo was like, Metroid Prime Remastered, motherfuckers. Boom.
Out now.
You looking for this?
It's fucking crazy. That's the Nintendo and Xbox milk right there. Does PlayStation want it?
Does PlayStation, when it's ready... I don't think it'll be any time right now. Do they drop Last of Us Factions? Free to play.
I would love it so much. Ooh. I would love it so much. I think the question is it ready? And I feel like that's the kind of game, the way they talked about it, the way they've hyped it up, the way in which Jeff Keighley had Neil Druckmann in the team at the Summer Game Fest Live kickoff, whatever it's called now, at the last one back in June. They showed off the concept art, and Neil was like, you will hear more from us next year about Last of Us multiplayer project. I feel like that's one where if we got close to it coming out, we would hear rumblings. I feel like that's one that would come with people, the Jeff Grubb, the rumor lovers of the world, being like, hey, y'all, I've been hearing that Last of Us Factions is about ready to drop. oh man, it's about around the corner. I think if we get to, let's say, if we get to like the later in the spring and we start hearing more rumblings and it is like, hey man, this thing's gonna, then I'll be like, okay, cool, I think it's happening. But I don't know, man. As of now, I don't feel it.
Yeah, and to be clear, I don't think it's going to be like now or even this year. Mm-hmm. But I'm saying when it happens.
When it happens. I think they got to talk about
it. I think there's a higher likelihood than ever. Talk about it, sure.
Yeah.
But I think that there's a higher likelihood than ever that Last of Us Factions, to some extent, is free to play and is a like drop now release of like, let's just get the player base up. Like, let's fucking go.
I think that'd be amazing. Yeah. But I think my prediction is at the larger state of play, maybe I think they might talk about it there. Or maybe at Jeff Keighley's event again. Yeah. I think that also would be, because Last of Us Factions is big enough to where I think you would want to talk about it at a PlayStation showcase or on a big stage. I think Jeff Keighley could provide the big stage for them to talk about it at. And I think that would be a, here's a window. You know, like, here, first of all, here is what Last of Us Factions is. Here are some plans. Let's give you a little sneak peek into what we're working on. And now here's a window. And that window being either fall 2023 or 2024.
Snake in the chat brings up an interesting point that I keep forgetting to bring up. Mm-hmm. They're for sure holding back on having a showcase because of their focus on trying to stop the Xbox and Activision deal. So once the deal's done, we will get a showcase. I do think that there is some truth to that.
Yeah.
I supposed to be business as usual. The thing is, PlayStation already did a good job of setting this year up in terms of exclusives and excitement on its console, with knowing we're getting Spider-Man 2 at the end and the fact that they keep talking about 2023. Like, that's their plan. That is their tentpole, in the same way that Ragnarok was their tentpole last year. But then looking all the way back and like the Final Fantasy exclusives and some of the other bigger titles that they have going on, if PlayStation didn't announce a single other game for this year, it would suck for us, mm-hmm. but they'd be fine. They'd still be, I think, in a really good position because they already have a really solid.
They have Spider-Man 2, Final Fantasy.
Exactly.
They had Forspoken.
And they did. But like, that's the thing. Like, there's titles coming out. So it's like, I feel like they could cruise through this year.
Yeah. But I wonder how much that holds. Because I think in last fall, when that started to become a rumor, the idea that the PlayStation Showcase isn't happening because they want to have all this ammo for the back and forth with Xbox and Activision Blizzard and all this stuff, not make it look, maybe be able to paint the image of, hey, Xbox is getting Call of Duty, and that's monumental for video game software because now they're getting all the software because look, at our slate, we don't have shit. Like, we're PlayStation. What do we have? I could see the kernels of, okay, I could see that being like maybe a little small factor. At some point, it becomes shooting yourself in the foot because you have to talk to your audience eventually, right? If this Activision Blizzard thing, the Microsoft acquisition talks go on until 2024, you're going to get a showcase. It's not like PlayStation is going to be like, don't release any games for the next 3 years or the Xbox thing goes on for three. Like, eventually, you just got to break that and go, let's talk to our audience.
That's true, but the thing is, they are talking to the audience, right? Just yesterday, 2 days ago, we saw the PlayStation blog do what it traditionally does and announce some indie games, updates on some indie games. Here's that stuff. We're going to get these smaller state of plays. What I'm saying is, like, even though we are due for a first-party major PlayStation Studios PlayStation showcase, okay. I wouldn't be surprised if they're like, we're good. Like, we got Spider-Man like this year, mm-hmm. and I hold it off till next year.
But I don't think you can get past Spider-Man without announcing big guns.
I think you can.
And I think it'd be crazy.
But the reason is because they have so many big guns in the chamber already. They have exclusives and they have things like Resident Evil 4 Remake, Dead Space Remake. All the biggest titles of this year, they already have.
But that's of this year. I think you get to the fall, like if you pass Spider-Man 2 and you don't talk about your big guns, then I think it gets problematic for what your audience is now expecting for the platform.
I think people are going to be like upset, be like, where is things? But I think that just goes back to the Nintendo strategy. Mm-hmm. Like, they have the difference between PlayStation and Nintendo is PlayStation have now got a library of studios that can produce a library of titles that are exclusive and phenomenal. And the expectation is that they will be that. They mm-hmm. also have all the third party. Nintendo just has that first part.
Yeah.
You know? So it's like, they, I think, can bolster the conversation and kind of like just do the mixed marketing stuff and like get the marketing rights or whatever, like lead the marketing on a lot of the bigger third party games. And like, we're going to be okay. Like, just riding through.
But like, I think at the same time, right, PlayStation in a similar way as Nintendo, understands the power of their first party. They rely on third party a lot. If you go to the PlayStation website right now, Hogwarts Legacy is like the banner ad, because they do rely on, hey, we got these marketing agreements. We also have the big AAA third parties that help sell people on the console along with our first parties. I think if you get to the point where you don't have the unicorn stuff anymore. I know Death Stranding 2 is out there and all, and that, and I at this point I gotta assume that Last of Factions gets announced at the, or gets revealed more at the Keighley thing. But like, I think as PlayStation, you still have so much more to talk about, and I think you will be shooting yourself in the foot a little bit if you get that far and go, no, we gotta hold because it's back and forth. At that point, it just doesn't matter, right? Just announce the things.
Yeah, but like, and so that's the thing, is I think it gets a little further away at that point from like how long you hold back because of the legal stuff. And for me, it's more just strategy at that. At a certain point, we're just like, what I think PlayStation has done brilliantly this generation compared to anyone before it is the showcases and making sure that they matter.
Yeah.
They've only done two so far, and both of them are easily some of the best video game showcases we've ever had. Like, pound for pound, when you look at the announcements made, I don't know that it's possible to get that level of hype for a showcase ever again.
Really?
Dude, think about it. Like, when you look at like the titles announced, look at all the games that have at this point come out on PlayStation already, except for Spider-Man and Wolverine, right? But it's like, they came out, we're just like, hey, guess what, guys? We got Miles Morales and Ratchet and Clank and Gran Turismo and Horizon. And it's like, it was just a who's who hit list of every single thing that you could want being given to you. Mm-hmm. And then when they did the other one, it was a similar vibe of like,
I still think they got a lot more of that in them, is the thing, right? Well, like, I think, especially now that they've skipped, or they didn't do one last year, I think if you get to this fall and PlayStation does a showcase talking about the next, revealing games for the next 2 or 3 years, and it's funny because they could have held Death Stranding too. They could hold the Last of Us Factions thing, right? And like, even put that in there. I think the fact that you're getting those two right now might speak to the fact that like, hey, this would have been in a showcase if we had one, but let's talk about it here. I think you get to a showcase, whatever the next big showcase is, and you have so much to talk about. There's 12 live service games that we have no idea about. There's what's Ben Studio working on? What is, I mean, we know what Sucker Punch is working on, right? But like, let us see it. Like, is Ghost of Tsushima 2 it? Are you going to have a multiplayer game with that now? We know Insomniac is apparently working on a multiplayer game based on job listings. Mm-hmm. And the list goes on in terms, like, what is the Astrobot Studio working on? Team Asobi, right? Yeah. Like, the list goes on in terms of big juggernaut stuff that they can announce that is going to get people hyped. And I think let's say if they did a showcase this fall and even the fall after that, I think they keep the same level of hype that they've had for the last few.
Sorry, that is the point I was trying to make.
Gotcha.
Is that it is an impossibly tall task to do that. Mm-hmm. They're set up to do it again.
Yes.
And like, that is the strategy there, where it's like, at some point it's not just the legal shit, but it's also, hey, if we just hold off a little bit, we'll have all this shit to be able to talk
for
about.
Sure. Okay, and that
like,
makes sense.
Boom and bang and go through. And that is like such a rare thing to be able to tee up and have all the dominoes fall, if you know what I'm talking about.
Oh, man, I love when the dominoes fall.
PlayStation, man, they've been pushing those dominoes for fucking years.
Yeah, man. So I know you're running long on this, but let's say, I guess doing very early E3 prediction now. Let's say we get, what would you want? What would you, Tim Gettys, personally want out of, let's say, the highlight of the smaller state of play that is rumored for the next couple of months, and then the larger state of play that happens right before E3?
Man, this is really tough and stupid, but like, honestly, I just want to see a showcase. Like, all these state of plays, I almost don't want these state of plays to have too many fucking crazy big things. I want them all to be in the showcase. I like the idea of the phase, and I like the idea of moving on. I think this year is already stacked. Like, I don't think we need more PlayStation games this year. Like, between having Spider-Man and believing Spider-Man's coming this year, because I do, bless. I believe it in my heart that we're getting it. But you look at just games that I'm going to be playing on the PlayStation this year, I'm good. I'm super, super good. And then you add on games I'm playing on Xbox and PC and Nintendo this year. I'm like, yo, this year is a little bit wild. Like, we don't need to keep adding giant megaton things.
Yeah.
So with that, I kind of feel like, just give me updates, maybe a couple cool surprise announcements. I would love, to your point of what is the Sifu, what is the Stray, those type of things I think would be great. But otherwise,
give me a can of Bridge of Spirits too.
Oh my God, I would love that. I'd fucking love that. But yeah, I feel like we're at a great place that I'm okay just looking, getting updates for games, because there's a ton of them coming out that I'm excited for.
For the smaller one, I would like I would like an update for little devil. I keep. I think what was killing me is that we just got Dark Pictures Devil in Me. So I keep wanting to say Little Devil in Me, and I'm like, that doesn't sound right. Little Devil Inside, right? That's the one. Mm-hmm. That's the one.
The Devil Inside.
No, Little Devil. God damn it, inside,
Little Devil.
I'm googling it. Little
Diablo devil. 4.
Oh God, I misspelled devil and I put an O in. There we go. Little Devil Inside. I got it right.
Little Devil Inside. That sounds.
So that doesn't sound real, right? Yeah. That sounds like I just made that up. I'll like an update on Little Devil Inside, and I'd like for them to be like in us out next month, right? Like I want that game to be around the corner by the time they talk about it next.
Oh, it has to be, right?
Yeah, and so that would be my ask for the small one. For let's say the larger state of play, I like the fact that their last large state of play highlighted big third party stuff. Because again, we're talking about Street Fighter VI, we're talking about Resident Evil 4, and then the one we got in the fall had Tekken 8 in there as well. Yeah, give me more of those. Like, especially from the Japanese third party publishers. What's another big thing coming from Capcom? What's a big thing coming from Sega?
I mean, we got Final Fantasy 16, but then we also have this winter Final Fantasy 7 Rebirth.
Yeah,
so
I think that'd be an ideal place to highlight those things, and then save your big PlayStation Studio stuff for either a Jeff Keighley thing or for a PlayStation Showcase.
Yeah. Makes a lot of sense, everybody. You know what else makes sense?
Ooh, Pragmata.
For us, patreon.com/kindoffunny. You can go there and get the show ad-free, but for everybody else, here. And now we're back. And guess what? I forgot a little housekeeping for a very exciting thing. Kev, if you could bring this up. Yesterday, Barrett Courtney and I sat down, and Barrett broke down to me for an hour what he thinks is going to go down in Legend of Zelda Tears of the Kingdom based on the new trailer we got. First off, look how dope this set is.
Looks beautiful.
This shit is hot. Can you scroll forward just a bit more, Kev? I want them to see the overlay and everything in there. We're in kind of overlay central. Oh, it's not going to look good because we're blocking it. But you know what? You should go to youtube.com/kindoffunnygames to watch it for yourself and check it out because, damn, Barrett went off.
Oh, yeah.
All right.
I love when Barrett
convinced me some wild shit that I'm like, oh, that's happening. It's 1,000% happening.
Oh, shit.
So, yeah, definitely check it out. Really, really cool thing. But it's fun. We rarely break down game trailers. We do a lot of the analysis and reactions to the kind of funny side. But on the game side of things, we normally watch the showcases. We live react. And then we just kind of like talk about them. But we don't do the frame-by-frame stuff. So it was fun to do.
Go
check that out.
I love that.
You're here now. For story number two, The Evil Within 3 has seemingly been teased in a Hi-Fi Rush Easter egg. This comes from Jordan Gerblich at Games Radar. The Evil Within 3 hasn't been announced, but the first indicator of its existence seems to be a very subtle Easter egg hidden in Tango Gameworks' newest release, Hi-Fi Rush. Hi-Fi Rush seems to be full of open... What?
Oh, my copy and paste has been doing this weird thing where if somebody has like a link in there, it now puts the opens in new tab.
Got it.
That's on me. I'm sorry.
Hi-Fi Rush seems to be full of references to The Evil Within, but a newly uncovered Easter egg is the first to seemingly tease a new entry in the series. Games Radar Plus was tipped off to the extremely subtle reference by an eagle-eyed reader, and I've since verified it myself, says Jordan. During the cinematic proceeding, track 11, The Needle Drop, Chai and company are taking an elevator ride to meet Kale, the CEO of the corporation. And just as the elevator reaches its destination, you get a split second look at a screen that shows you've arrived at floor 776. At the bottom of the screen, in small print, is a feed with the weather and news. Next to news reads, sequel to popular survival horror franchise announced. This is far from confirmation of Evil Within 3, but it's arguably the best piece of evidence we've found so far that a sequel's in the works. The only games Tango's developed outside of Evil Within and Hi-Fi Rush are the mobile game Hero Dice and Ghostwire Tokyo, which both isn't a franchise and isn't a survival horror game, making Evil Within the only plausible candidate for what this Easter egg's referencing. Banana. Almost a year ago to the day, GameSpot revealed that Ghostwire Tokyo actually began life as The Evil Within 3, but eventually became its own thing.
You got his ass, Kevin. You got his ass.
Due to the dramatically different direction it went during development. There's another indicator that Tango at least once intended to make a sequel to 2017's Evil Within 2, but it remains to be seen with certainty whether one will ever surface.
I got a couple of thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
So if you open the image, which Kevin opened, but I think we're blocking it with our big old heads, at the bottom of the image, right? So you have the text that says sequel to popular survival horror game franchise announced. I don't know if that's enough for me to go, oh man, they're teasing Evil Within 3. I think it's an Evil Within reference.
Teasing, I think, yes.
Yeah.
Confirming, not so much. But I do think this is clearly a tease. Yes. Like, what else could it be?
I don't know. Like, I mean, there's so many Easter eggs and references in Hi-Fi Rush. And, like, sequel to popular survival horror game franchise announced. I guess. I don't know. I guess it just seems like too much, like a bit too much of a stretch for me. But I could see it being we just made Evil Within 2, especially when you're talking about the development of this game, right? Not that long ago, we put out Evil Within 2. Let's give a little homage, right? Evil Within 2 is a sequel to a popular survival horror game that was announced and came out.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe it's an Evil Within 2 reference.
Look, we're getting Evil Within 3. So
you think so?
I mean, I feel like that's a foregone conclusion that at some point we're going to get that. It's a successful, critically successful. It sells well enough. Survival horror is very, very, very in vogue. Bless. I don't know if you've noticed that recently, but can you think about the fact that we've gotten every Resident Evil remake possible in the last couple years? We got Dead Space remake. We got Callisto Protocol. We have Silent Hill 2 being remade.
I mean, Alan Wake, Last is Part 1. Like, the list goes on.
Yo, straight the fuck up. It just continues and continues and continues. Like, if you're a survival horror fan, this is the best time ever. Like, they're just popping up. Like, there's like one a month at this point. And they're, so far, for the most part, really high quality experiences. Mm-hmm. I mean, like, Callisto, not everybody loved. But besides that, like, I think every game that I talked about is like a 8 or 9 caliber game. So.
My other thought on this is like, you know, hey, Tango Gameworks, get rid of Evil Within. Just make some. It makes more Hi-Fi Rush for me. Listen, and I know.
That's why you don't believe it. No, this can't be a tease. No.
Skip Evil Within. Put all your team on Hi-Fi Rush.
Everybody.
Put out another one of these in like 2 years.
You know
two
what?
Years.
Give me the one. All right.
It's a joke, by the way. Don't get mad at me.
I'm gonna need every single developer in the entire world to unite in one. As one team.
One team
to work on Hi-Fi Rush and Hi-Fi Rush only.
The Hi-Fi Rush dynasty. I went Hi-Fi Rush in every fucking genre.
I want
a kart racer Hi-Fi Rush, which actually does sound great. Oh, my Hi-Fi hip-hop?
Can you believe?
Oh,
can you imagine?
Hip-hop Rush? Oh, man. Oh, man.
Jeez.
Oh, man.
Make Bless the main character.
Give me a...
Just fucking do it.
Yeah. Give me a little robot cat named 808. And if you don't want to do... If you want to do a different one than the 808 in the game, call it 909. I don't know. Are there 909 drums?
I don't think so.
Because 808 drums, I think, like, originated
not
in Hawaii.
Best work, Bless.
No, it's not my best work. I know. Damn. Call that 808 and heartbreak, you know?
That's what we're saying. Hey, he's back,
hey,
baby.
I'm back, baby.
Yeah, Evil Within 3. I think we'll get it at some point. I think it's just a cute little thing. But I do think that with the way this is phrased, it's more of a tease than not, I would say. But
all right.
Story number 3, Alan Wake 2 is now playable from start to finish, says Remedy. This comes from Chris Scullion at VGC. Development of Alan Wake 2 has reached the stage where the game can be played from start to finish, Remedy has stated. In comments made following the publication of the studio's latest financial results, CEO Taro Virtala said that the development on the sequel was going well. Alan Wake 2 is in full production. The game will soon have all content in place and it's playable from start to finish. They also noted that Alan Wake Remastered, which was released in October 2021, has failed to generate royalties for the studio, but says he hopes Alan Wake 2 will boost sales. At the time of the announcement, Remedy creative director Sam Lake said the game will be a survival horror, but noted the game will go dark for some time before new information is revealed. Explained the studio's decision to not show any of the game last summer, Lake said, "We feel that we have momentum going, and we want to make sure we're creating the best and first survival horror game for Remedy. We don't want to take the team away from that focus, so we're going to keep going and make a great game experience. And unfortunately, you have to wait a bit longer for a demo and trailer."
Hell yeah.
All right.
That's good to hear.
Yeah.
Remedy Games continues to, like, kill it.
Oh, yeah.
Right? I mean, and, like, they have a lot in the works. You know, there's a tweet from my personal Nival replacement, Noble.
Jeff Grubb, hold on.
Yeah, Jeff Grubb corrected me on this, on the pronunciation.
Let me pop in here. Let me find this.
But yeah, like, they tweeted out, and they were like, and they tweeted out with the link to the press release, because Remedy Games put out a whole statement about the states of their different projects. And they talk about how Alan Wake 2 is now playable from start to finish, like you just talked about. Alan Wake Remastered has not generated royalties yet, but they, you know, they think that Alan Wake 2 will boost the sales of Alan Wake Remastered. Control 2 is now in the proof of concept stage. CN Condor is still in the proof of concept stage. Vanguard, or sorry, codenames Condor. Now codenamed Vanguard is in the same stage as Condor, right? So still in the proof of concept. And then Max Payne is in the concept stage. They're working on a whole lot of games, but Remedy also just put out Control a few years ago, and Control is one of the dopest games I played in a very long time. And so, like, I got trust for them right now, even though I got worry also with like how much they're splitting themselves here.
Canoobal is what they're saying here. Canoobal.
Canoobal. All right.
And they are a mod for Game Mess.
Hell yeah. Well, Canoobal's doing great work. Great work on Twitter. Yeah.
Shout out to Canoobal. Everybody go follow Canoobal. That is on Twitter at KNOEBELBROET.
Hell yeah.
Canoobal.
Are you an Alan Wake person?
No.
Are you going to play Alan Wake 2?
Probably not, but maybe. I mean
they're talking about shifting it into survival horror.
I'm a little survival horrored out in this. Like, I don't know that I need all of that. But
because I view you now, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, I feel like you are a survival horror person.
I'm not. I just feel like I've actually fallen into it. I've fallen into that kind of funny.
Because what? Resident Evil. Mm-hmm. You've played multiple Resident Evil games and fucking love Resident Evil.
Uh-huh.
Last of Us. You like Last of Us.
I don't know that I call Last of Us survival horror. I get it.
Yeah. Dead Space.
And I love Dead Space.
You love Dead Space.
Didn't like Callisto.
A lot of people didn't like Callisto.
But I didn't. Didn't like Evil Within. Didn't like, there's a lot of stuff I don't like. I don't know.
Rayman Chess's Last of Us is not horror. I don't understand how it wouldn't be. Like, survival horror, I'll give you a little bit because I think it has less of, the survival elements than a Resident Evil. But even then, I'm like, I don't know. Not horror? The clickers are scary as hell.
Yeah. Yeah, that's weird. I mean, genres are fucking weird. Right. Anytime you try to define something, it gets a little bit. But I'm trying to think, I wouldn't call like for myself a survival horror person. I get that, there are franchises that, yes, I love, but.
Do you fuck with Silent Hill?
No, not really.
All right.
Yeah. But maybe they'll change me. I don't know. Change me, everybody.
Fair enough.
Story number four. A plus edition of Sonic Origins has reportedly been raided in Korea. This comes from Chris Scullion at VGC. Bless. It seems like just yesterday, me and you were sitting at this very desk asking, where is our super game? Where is our 10 times
this is the super game, Sonic Origins Plus?
Sonic Origins Plus. I fucking love it. Madognik says Tim likes Fatal Frame, I think. I do like Fatal Frame.
Oh, there you
go. That is true. Having said that, I only played Fatal Frame 2. So
the amount of people in chat that are like, Last of Us isn't horror is worrying me. It's concerning me.
Change me, everybody. Change me. A new version of Sonic Origins reportedly been given a rating in South Korea. Gamatsu reports that the Game Rating and Administration Committee of Korea has listed the game titled Sonic Origins Plus among its recent rating decisions. Sega hasn't confirmed this, so it's not clear what the game will contain. The company's history has a history of re-releasing Sonic titles with extra content and a plus moniker attached. Recently, they did this for Sonic Mania, containing a remix encore mode and two playable characters, Mighty the Armadillo and Ray the Flying Squirrel. It could also be that Sonic Origins Plus is simply the base game with its controversial DLC included. When Sonic Origins released in June 2022, it was accompanied by three DLC packs costing around $5, which included features as hard new missions, extra music tracks, and character animations on the main menu. Players complained at the time that some of these features, particularly the main menu animations, should have been present in the base game. And yeah, 100%, yeah, they should have.
It's funny how little opinion I have about this for something that is Sonic.
Yeah,
because I read through the story, and I'm like, all right, cool. Yeah. I don't think I'm gonna get the Plus edition. If they add more content with Sonic Origins Plus, maybe, but I don't expect more content because it's a remaster or it's a re-release and repackaging, and I guess remaster too of the original Sonic games. Are you going to add new levels? I don't think so.
Yeah, you know, this is weird because Origins, everything they said here is true. Like, the DLC stuff was atrocious and just very stupid. I really enjoyed Origins. I love it. I think it's a great collection of those games overall. Not perfect, but I think it's the closest to perfect we have and I think we'll ever get. When it comes to Mania, which is one of my favorite games, freaking love that thing. Plus was great. The encore mode, the extra characters, there was a lot of fun that was added, and it got me to replay Sonic Mania again even though I wasn't planning on it. I was like, I'm going to just start this up. And the next thing I know, I beat the whole damn thing, all right, in the encore mode. And it was fun. If they could do that for this, for Origins, maybe it'll get me back into playthrough. But I do think that that's a uphill battle. And I also just don't know what they would add.
Yeah, I feel like it would be just the quote-unquote Ultimate Edition with the animations included and all the stuff that you would have gotten in the deluxe package included in the actual game. Even though I feel like, from what we talked about, I don't know if that stuff was substantial enough to really repackage it as a plus edition. So maybe it's that stuff and then, I don't know, more features. Maybe you can choose the soundtrack per level. I don't know what you add to those games.
The fact that it's Sonic Origins Plus,
yeah,
like if it was just Sonic whatever the fuck, it'd be like, oh, cool, like, new the adventure games, or like, you know, some of the like Saturn games or something, I don't know. But like,
oh, you think adding new games could be the move here?
I mean, potentially, but because back, this is not a pattern to follow here, but back on the like GameCube era, so like 2002 or 2003, mm-hmm. there was the Sonic Mega Collection,
there was
and then Sonic Mega Collection Plus, mm-hmm. and that was a totally different SKU, different era than we are in here, but that had a completely different set of games, and it got a little bit more niche with the games.
Add in the Sonic 4 mobile games.
Well, those weren't mobile.
Were they not mobile? Sonic, oh no, they 4, were like
episode 1 and 2 were like that was.
It was like Xbox Live,
games.
Right?
Yeah, real games.
But I think they released on mobile though, right? Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. I just viewed them as mobile games. But I guess you could do those. Nobody's asking for those, but I guess you could do those.
Bandar Sen, you could add the Game Gear games. Yes. I think that is the type of stuff that I could imagine popping up here. But
what was the Sonic 3D one for? Was it Genesis Saturn?
3D Blast. It was on both.
Really?
Gen title.
Holy shit. Yeah, I only played the Genesis version. Yeah. That's crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Give me the Sonic fighting game on Saturn.
Sonic Fighters. Yeah. Story number 5, Sega announces a new game, 404. Oh my lord. All right. Sega announces a new game, 404 Game Re:Set. Super game, everybody.
Don't speak too soon, Tim. Oh. I can't wait for you to read through this one.
Okay, here we go. Chris Scullion at VGC reports. Sega and Nier series creator Yoko Taro have officially announced their upcoming mobile game, 404 Game.
It sounds so super anymore.
teased earlier in the week, the mobile title reimagines classic Sega games as...
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Keep reading.
Sorry, I'm going to take this one from the top, all right?
Yep.
Sega announces a new game, 404 Game Reset. Sega and Nier series creator Yoko Taro have officially announced their upcoming mobile game, 404 Game Reset. Teased earlier in the week, the mobile title reimagines classic Sega games as attractive women who represent an evil version of Sega.
It's not a joke. Keep going. This is not a parody article. I read through this article and I was like, am I sure this is VGC? I triple checked.
In a trailer for the game, a narrator refers to a distorted world where Sega reigns at the top of the world and controls everything. I love how even they fucking know. They're like, this isn't reality. This Sega on top? That's a fucking crazy-ass alternate reality.
The game imagines a world where the Saturn was a success.
Oh my god, dude. Holy shit. This is due to the power of the girls known as Cast, who were born when Sega gave its games an identity.
Yes.
This can't be real.
It's real.
This is
the trailer is playing right goddamn
this
now.
This is a quote from them. Yeah. Like, this is not... This is a fucking quote. This is due to the power of the girls known as Cast, who were born when Sega gave its games an identity. Players must get involved in the battle to restore the world that Sega continues to rule. The video showcases examples of some of the game's Cast characters, which are human interpretations of such Sega IPs as Afterburner, Outrun, Virtua Cop, and Virtual Fighter.
At some point during this trailer, it will pop up with the images of the girls, and Tim, you will be so embarrassed for this.
Yoko Taro, who serves as the game's creative director, said, "It's a game that features Sega's IP, so I thought Sega should be in the game, but I don't think Sega would want to see a
right
game
here,
that
portrayed it." Right here.
Hold on, Kevin. Please pause this. I need to see all of it, but I need you.
Let me see if I'm gonna see if I can find a link to put in assets for all the girls, because I think they did have it on the Video Game Chronicle article.
I need everybody to listen to the words that I'm about to say.
This is Virtual Fighter right here.
Oh my. This is a quote from Yoko Taro. It's a game that features Sega IP, so I thought Sega should be in the game, but I didn't think Sega would want to see a game that portrayed it well, so I portrayed it negatively.
I'm speechless about this news story.
It's a world that imagines that if things were to go well for Sega, but then got out of control, it could end up like this.
Yeah, we got the different images here. You got a Virtual Fighter, you got Virtual Cop, you got Afterburner, and they are all just the most like anime girl with like exaggerated features that you'd imagine. And they like look.
It's a dope jacket.
That is a dope jacket.
That yeah,
dude.
But that like chest thing that she's wearing is supposed to go on your chest, and it's just like so much lower, you know?
yeah, I don't think it's. I don't think these are made to be practical. These the things they're wearing are made to be practical.
All right, let me keep reading this because like every word here is gold. Yeah. In a tweet marked "Sending Resistance," it states the Sega state is trying to deceive and control people. This account was open to reveal the truth. Y'all are going too fucking far. God, and they're doing this hot on the heels of Yuji Naka.
They are. They actually are, yeah.
I want to deliver the truth that Sega's hiding from the people to as many as possible. Please help spread the word. Let's take back the original world from the Sega state. Players in Japan can pre-register for the game to receive gacha gems. In an interview with Famitsu producer Gosuku Nakamura said that there will be many more girls based on Sega titles, suggesting that players will be collecting them. It's not yet known if the game will be released in the West.
This is embarrassing. Like, come on. What are we doing here? What are we doing here? I like the fact that we go from, I want to deliver the truth that Sega is hiding from people to as many people as possible. Please help spread the word. Let's take back the original world from the Sega state. And then the very next sentence is, players in Japan can pre-register for a game for the game to receive gacha gems. It's like, come on.
This is
any self-awareness would be great right here.
This is so, I mean, but they're so self-aware that Sega can't possibly be good. It has to be bad. This is fucking crazy. But is this part of, like, I've never completed every ending of Nier Automata. Do you think this is the seventh ending?
No.
Like, is this part of the game?
That's the other thing, too, is the fact that Yoko Taro is the one directing this. Is the fact that, like, you know, I look at Yoko Taro as a brilliant person, right? I think Yoko Taro, Nier Automata and Nier Replicant have some of the coolest stories I've ever played through in video games. And, like, I think his game design prowess is, like, fucking amazing. But then also there are moments where it's like, Yoko Taro, come on now. Like, why is 2B dressed like that? Why is there a trophy for looking upper skirt? Why are you making these games where you're reimagining Sega IP as like hot anime girls? Like, what are
that
we
you
doing
collect.
Here? That you collect.
There's so much disgusting bullshit here. There's also a lot of really funny nonsense here.
It's, yeah,
but
there
I
is
hate
a lot
those
of funny
two
nonsense
things
here.
Have to intersect.
Because a lot of like it strikes me as like, what if, you know, Roger does our social media. What if Roger was like, hey, I got an idea. What if I made an account that's about exposing Kind of Funny for all of Kind
of
Funny
sins? All of our
sins. Yeah. Like, that's basically what Yoko Taro was like. Yo, what if I made a game about how Sega is evil and I made a Twitter account that's about saving the world from the Sega state? Because this is an alternate future where Sega was successful.
Oh, my fuck.
It's fucking, on some level, I'm like, yo, this is actually kind of funny and really cool. But on another level, I'm like, oh, man, this execution of it is just kind of weird. And what takes it away mainly for me are the anime girls. If you didn't have the anime girls here and the gacha mechanics, I could be into an idea like this. Because I like the idea of Sega being like, yo,
dude,
what if Sega was
plus,
evil?
I'm right there with you. Yeah, if I had a nickel for every time I looked at something and was like, if this was completely different than the thing it is, I'd love it.
Exactly.
You know?
Exactly.
Exactly. Oh, man. Will this game make it to the West? I don't know, Bless. Yes, that question is so far away.
Hopefully not.
If I want to know what's coming to Mom and Grom shops today, where would I look?
You would look toward the official list of upcoming software across each and every platform as listed by the Kind of Funny Games Daily Show hosts each and every weekday. Do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do, yeah.
The button didn't work to play the music. That sucks.
Out today, Hogwarts Legacy on all the current. Wait, what is this? Right?
No, that's not right. It says PS4 and
on the next gen,
on next gen, on the
on
current
gen
consoles,
and PC.
Yeah,
and also
yeah.
On old gen consoles
in later
April.
Oh.
Yeah.
Go Pogo Girl is on everything. Legion of Doom on Switch and N Paint on Switch. Lowercase N. paint.
You said that like you knew it.
All one word.
It's like, oh, yeah. I recognize that name.
No, no,
it's
no.
It's been years.
Man, this has been a great show.
Yeah,
a lot of fun, cool stuff going on. But I think it's time for us to bid you adieu for this week.
Yeah.
Next week, it's going to be fun. It's going to be a wild, wild ride. So I'm just going to be honest with you. Mm-hmm. I don't know who's hosting. So you're going to have to tune in. You might get some fun surprises. Knowing some scheduling shit going on right now, you're going to get some surprises. And that's going to be great. That's going to be fun. After this, guess what's happening, everyone? You asked for it. You got it. And now you're going to get it again. The Jabroni Boys are going to continue playing some Elden Ring.
Oh, I thought I could say golf.
No, I was like, golf yesterday. You I'm going
to
go
to golf every single day.
Check that out.
And I'm stuck here doing the actual work, playing video games.
I'm going to go to you're wrong and see what we got wrong here. I'm sure there was nothing.
Vander Essen says, Blessed said Evil Within 2 recently came out, but 2 came out in 2017. I don't think I came, or I guess, yeah, to finish the statement, before Hi-Fi Rush even started development. I guess that part is the correction, because I think I was talking about, like, maybe Hi-Fi Rush came out close to, or Hi-Fi Rush, whatever. I know Evil Within 2 came out in 2017.
I will say, I would have thought it came out, like, 2 years ago.
Really?
2017, that is wild that it's taken that long.
2017 just feels like a year that should have been more recent, because that was the year of dreams. I remember 2017 so vividly.
Mm-hmm.
I played Breath of the Wild.
Mm-hmm.
I played Mario Odyssey.
Mm-hmm.
I played Horizon.
Mm-hmm.
I played Golf Story.
Mm.
I played Wolfenstein 2.
What a time.
Destiny 2. I can keep naming 2017 games again.
Yeah.
Nier Automata, Persona 5. What a year.
Borzin says there is a 909.
PUBG.
Since 808 named after the Roland 808, there could be a 909 based on a Roland 909. Yeah, there is one. But
it was
like,
just a bad joke from me.
Okay, let's see.
People keep trying to write in saying they'll offer me Tears of the Kingdom for higher prices. That's not how the hypothetical works. In my hypothetical situation, Nintendo is only allowing me to pay $1,200 and I have no other option to acquire Tears of the Kingdom.
Yeah.
I'm going to do it.
I love how upset it gets people.
It got people really upset. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Because it's almost as if they think that you're saying that every game should cost $1,200. It's like,
yeah,
no.
It's almost like, yeah, it's
no.
Like they think that
it's
I'm
saying
asking
that you
Nintendo,
personally,
I
have value in this game.
I was thinking about it last night, too. I was like, man, what other games would I pay that price for? And like, I mean, when I was having that conversation with Greg, I was like, I don't think there's another game that I'll do that for. That's a lie. If Hideo Kojima was like, I'm putting out another Metal Gear that wraps up the story from Metal Gear 5 and linked up the story all the way up until Metal Gear Solid 1, like remade the first Metal Gears. Oh man, yeah, I'll pay higher than $1,200 for that.
Higher,
yeah.
How high will Bless get? We'll have to stay tuned and find out. I'm sure we're going to talk about that later. What else do we got here? Actually, though, let's see. Sonic the Fighters was an arcade only release. Its first console release was on the Sonic Gems Collection in 2005. That comes from Killian. Just a little fact for you, Bless.
Thanks.
And. That's it. That's it, everybody.
That's it.
We nailed it. We crushed it. Not just this episode, but every episode this week.
Of course.
We're the best, Blast.
That's what we do here on Kind of Funny Games Daily. We can't be stopped. You hear that? Game Ranks. I don't know why I'm going back to Game Ranks. I like Game Ranks. But you hear that? Jake Baldino.
Yeah, specifically.
Specifically.
Jake Baldino.
Yeah, that's right. I'm following the camera. Jake,
fucking love
come at
Jake.
Me.
Fucking love you. Bye, guys.
Bye.
I love you as well.
Take my hand.
Oh, yeah.